20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Dusty Evely. I am flying solo here for this edition of Pack to the Future. My regular cohort, Andy Herman, who started this whole thing, is out actually heading to Packers camp right now as we speak, I believe. So he's unable to join me for today. So I'm just going to be flying solo for these 20 minutes. I hope you do not get sick of me. So I'm recording this on Sunday. There was actually no camp today. So there's not really any new news since Saturday. But, we got a few things to talk about anyway. Matt and Zach did a great job yesterday covering some of the happenings. There's a couple they didn't touch on. There's a couple fairly big ones, and both of the ones that I'm kind of concerned on, or three of them, I guess, are all on defense, on the defensive side of the ball, which is not really shocking, I guess. The offense has new pieces, rookie receivers and all that, and that's very, very exciting. And of course, Aaron Rodgers is back, which is the most exciting news anyone has ever had ever in the history of the world. But it's with Capers finally being gone after, according to my notes, 30 years. Yes, 30 years in Green Bay as a defensive coordinator, never trying anything new. With Pettin in, it's just there's a different feeling around this defense. And of course, I was going to say they're focused on the defense in the draft, but they've kind of done that under Capers as well. They always seem to prioritize defense, just hoping that they would find something to kind of help it take that next step up. So we got some new pieces on the defense as well, and I actually kind of want to start with an old piece. He was drafted a year ago, Kevin King. I know one of the reports I saw out of training camp was he had a really, really nice showing opposite Davante Adams in one-on-ones, which, if you would have told me this 2 years ago, I would have said, well, it doesn't matter. Davante Adams is terrible. He can't catch a ball. But after his breakout last year, it's a different story. One-on-ones, you have no safety help. It's you versus the man out in front of you. And Adams, as we all know, is going into this season as the absolute undoubted number one wide receiver. He made people look foolish last year with his footwork. Tremendous get off the line, just great moves, violent feet. And King went up against him, I believe it was three times, and didn't allow a catch. Like, played him, by all accounts, played him extremely well. Faced up on him, got the turned, I think knocked a ball away, which it was just very, it's fairly rare in these drills. So to see that from the second year guy against the number one wide receiver going into the year is really, really promising. I know it doesn't really I really like Kevin King last year. I thought what he showed was good. I thought, he made some mistakes. He wasn't perfect, obviously. I know the Cincinnati game in particular, A.J. Green kind of handed him his lunch a little bit. But more often than not, I really liked him. I like his athleticism. I like his length. I like his speed. There's not many guys that can run down Julio Jones on a drag route and knock a ball away. But King did that last year, which was very, very exciting. But I know he didn't grade out well. It doesn't matter where you look. If you looked at Pro Football Focus or Football Outsiders, or even if you asked your very opinionated uncle who thinks that shoulders should stay in their sockets at all time, thank you very much. And so Kevin King was terrible. Like, it doesn't matter which rating system you looked at, Kevin King did not grade out particularly well for the year. But as far as just how he looked, I was really excited about how he looked. So seeing this going in, going into camp, going up against Adams, I think is great, great news. I mean, the focus is on Alexander and Jackson, the rookies coming into this class. But I think if there's a guy who could really this year seize that number one corner job, I'm going with Kevin King right now. I just think what he showed and having, being in the second year in the league, and I just think if he stays healthy. If, like your uncle said, if his shoulder can stay in his socket, I think he's got a good chance to be the number one. So that's a very promising showing, I thought, the reports out of camp what he did against Davante Adams. One of the other ones that I actually didn't pay too much attention to was Quentin Rollins. It's a little embarrassing, I think, if you go and listen to the Pack to the Future podcast that we did, kind of leading into last season, that we were just talking about the just the embarrassment of riches we had at cornerback. Like, oh man, we got Demaryius Randall, we got Quentin Rollins, we got these two young guys. They're going to be there for a while. They're going to be good. We are set. We're set at cornerback. Like, ah, man, that looks really dumb now. Like 12 months, maybe not even 12 months later. You know, Randall was shipped out of town. And Randall had a good year last year, I thought, especially second half of the year. But Rollins did not, and then he got injured. So it's kind of one of those, is he going to make the team? Was he going to be back? Kind of what was in store for this guy, especially with the draft that we just had? Well, they're using him a lot as the dime linebacker, kind of what we saw out of Morgan Burnett last year, which is very, very exciting. I mean, it's not going to be the same exact thing, obviously. Going from Capers to Pettine is not the same exact system. They're not going to do the same exact stuff. But I think Rollins could be very well suited for that role. He did seem out of place a little bit at cornerback. The talk was kind of a transition to safety possibly, but there's a ton of talent. There's a ton of guys there between, you know, obviously Clinton Dix and Bryce and Jones is kind of the three guys. And not to say you can't have a fourth guy and rotate them, but, you know, it's kind of where does Rollins fit into all of this between the young guys and the glut of talent at safety? You don't know. So kind of that dime hybrid linebacker could be awesome. I know McCarthy was singing his praises a day or two ago. Just seeing, you know, you can see his flexibility, you can see his ability to play several different positions. So far through camp, he's had exactly zero snaps at outside corner, none whatsoever, which is not really shocking when you think about it. Again, with the guys you have out there, with King and Williams and the two rookies, but still to not see a single snap out there through a few days of camp is kind of crazy to me for a guy like Rollins. It's pretty much all of his snaps have come at the hybrid safety linebacker position, which it's kind of exciting. It's a guy, you know, I would have been hard pressed to hear anything about Quentin Rollins at this point in the season and be like, oh man, this really gets me hyped, especially with the draft that we just had. But I don't know, this kind of gets me hyped a little bit. It's got him thinking, got some moving some pieces around. I know some people don't really love the hybrid linebacker safety position. You want guys who are kind of sitting their spots, right? Like they know what they're going to do and they do it well. But I think in today's NFL, I mean, it's been going on for a very, very long time, where you have you have these offenses that adapt so well and have all these kind of hybrid offensive positions, really, that you can run a package out there and you're not sure whether it's run or pass, and what the defense kind of lines up or who they bring out kind of dictates that. You kind of need to have one or two guys that could kind of fill that hybrid role and kind of be that jack of all trades, master of none. And I don't think Rollins is going to be incredible. I don't think he's going to blow anybody away. But if he can be solid in that kind of hybrid role, if he can, you know, cover a tight end, or which something Capers did not know was allowed, I don't think, actually. And also cover a running back, and also maybe shoot a gap and do something in the backfield, or, you know, make a tackle again in the run game or something. I think he can make an impact there. So I'm really, really excited about that. And the last topic I really want to bring up, again, this stays on the defensive side of the ball. This is something I didn't see coming. I don't think anyone saw coming. It's just something that has shaken up the Packers world in general. No one knows what's going on. You know, up is down, left is right, dogs and cats living together. It's mass hysteria. And that is, guys, Fackrell beat David Bakhtiari on a one-on-one drill. Now, I know, you're shocked. You have no idea what's going on. I'm going to give you a second to collect yourself here. It's a little crazy. It is a little crazy. And just a little more context over just kind of how crazy this is. Again, so Bakhtiari is well-regarded as one of the best, if not the best, left tackle in the league. Kyler Fackrell, coming into his third year, again, he's coming into his third year, and not only is he's coming into his third year, he's going to turn 27 this year. Like, he was an old rookie. And he's coming into this, it's kind of one of those, like, well, maybe he's got some veteran wiles. No, he has nothing. He doesn't have any wiles. It's fine. So this is his third camp he's in. Up until this point, in one-on-one battles, he was 1-for-30. So he's now 2-for-31. So that's a success rate of about 6.5%. That's awful for a guy who's trying to make his living as kind of like a, you know, an edge rusher or whatever he's trying to be or whatever he has been. It's not good. So to see this was kind of a my initial reaction. Well, what's wrong with David Bakhtiari? And then my other reaction was, I've not seen a video of this anywhere, so it probably didn't happen. There's Kyler Fackrell truthers out there, and frankly, I don't understand them, but they're out there. And so I tried to track down the video, so I put some feelers out. Someone sent me, it was actually up on Packers.com. It's kind of a very zoomed in, you can actually see it. I made a GIF of it and posted it the other day. It's a decent move. He sets Bakhtiari up kind of wide, like Fackrell sets him up like a speed rush. That's a nice little speed move back inside, just a really quick change of direction and straight line to the quarterback. It's like not an amazing move. It's not anything that's going to, you know, light the world on fire or like, oh my goodness, this guy suddenly has moves. Like that's a move I've seen him do before. It's still a decent move. It didn't really show me anything like a new bag of tricks or anything. I know he put on weight, and I know McCarthy's saying like he kind of loves what he's been showing in camp so far, but I think Fackrell has two moves. He has a speed move and then a simple counter, and he went with the simple counter, which is cool. I mean, that's better than not having any kind of counter at all, but I don't know. Like, it's a good showing, I guess. It was a good rep. Happy for him. And you know, I've been talking Fackrell down. So, you know, to anyone who's a member of Fackrell's family or something, I apologize. I actually decided I wanted to look up some numbers because I know I've never been a huge fan of him. And again, part of that is how old he was when he was drafted. The other part of it is how seemingly little impact he's had when he's been on the field. And so I went through, I recently purchased Football Outsiders charting stats, which are great. It's like $30 for a year, so it's not too bad. And they kind of run through a whole bunch of stuff. So one of the ones they have is total pressures by individual for the past 3 years. So I kind of decided to go there. So I went 2016, Fackrell's rookie year. He had a total of 4.5 pressures on 160 snaps. So he was basically pressuring the quarterback 2.8% of his snaps, which you know, isn't great. It was actually higher than Jaron Elliott that year. It was a shade under Julius Peppers. The highest Packer that year was Perry at 3.32. So no one was really doing too much. But you know, that's not bad. But for Fackrell, that wasn't good. And he wasn't seeing the field very much. Again, 160 snaps isn't very good, and it was mostly pass rushing downs. So yeah, his rookie year, nothing. And again, he was a 24-year-old rookie. I think he turned 25 during the season. So not a good showing, not a great showing. So I went to this year, or last year, I'm sorry, 2017. In 2017, on 254 snaps, so about 100 more snaps than the year before, he had 19 pressures. 19 pressures, up from 4.5. That's a 7.48% pressure rate for Fackrell last year, up from 2.81. In fact, it was the highest pressure rate of any Packer last year. The highest non-Fackrell division was Nick Perry with 4.34%. Clay Matthews was at 3.58. Again, Fackrell was 7.48%. 7.4%. That's huge. That's amazing. I kind of looked to see what guys in other teams, kind of notable names, kind of where he was at in terms of how many pressures he had. And so to put a little perspective on this, TJ Watt, who everyone and their mother, I think, wanted in Green Bay, had 19.5 pressures last year. So half a pressure more than Fackrell did. And he had 751 snaps. Fackrell did it in 254. So while, you know, he had 0.5% more, Fackrell's pressure was 7.5%, whereas TJ Watt's was 2.6%. So, I mean, that's all great. That's awesome. That's actually better than I thought it was going to be. I know he picked up a couple sacks last year. And there's a couple times last year. I know there's one game in particular, but I'm blanking on what game it was. Was really like, oh my goodness, Kyler Fackrell actually made a play. This is shocking. And the Fackrell truthers out there didn't like that. I didn't think that he was very, very good. But I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Like, he's just not very good, and every now and then he'll show flashes. So he had a game, and he had some plays where he'd, you know, get to the quarterback, or he'd play a run really well. Like, he had really nice run play. The fact that I can remember these off the top of my head probably isn't very good, but still, 19 pressures and 254 snaps is really, really good. But again, I want to put some context on that. So the context is that we'll put him up against, we'll say Nick Perry. So Nick Perry, again, 552 snaps, 23.5 pressures. Perry was not asked to rush the passer every single time out there. Again, I would assume Perry's would be a little higher than that. But still, it's not like Perry's out there every time saying, go get the quarterback. No, he's the absolute best run defender. He is, he's very good at holding an edge. He's not asked to rush the passer every single time. And I feel, and Fackrell is out there as a situational pass rusher, which is fine. It seemed like he did very well at it last year, according to the numbers. But I didn't want to get too carried away with the 7.5% pressure rate, because he's when he's out there, he's asked to do one thing. You know, maybe one or two things. But his primary goal is getting to the quarterback when he's out there. I haven't looked at the down breakdown. It's not easily available, and I haven't had time to look at it. But I'm going to assume that most of those are third down situations, maybe second and long situations, where you know late game situations where they know they're going to be throwing. Like, Fackrell's out there as a situational pass rusher, which, again, is fine. But I didn't want to get too carried away on those numbers, because while they're good, if you start looking at the comparisons of what the other guys were also asked to do, like, it's not that much. I don't want to say not that much. I don't want to diminish what Fackrell did. I just want to say it's not as amazing as it looks based on the numbers. I also kind of want to look at his snap counts throughout the year. And he stayed pretty consistent. And I swear I'm going to go somewhere with this. He stayed pretty consistent throughout the year. So Fackrell had, in week one, like, 12 snaps. He went 12, 19, then 41 in week three. And then from there, he was generally throughout the rest of the year, he was 24, kind of mid-20s, mid-30s. His highest week was week 11 with 46 snaps, which put him at 62.2% of the defensive snaps. He actually, his highest percentage of the year was back the aforementioned Cincinnati game, where he had 41 snaps, and that accounted for 67%. So even when he's in there, like, he's in there for half, maybe roughly over half of the game. And late in the year, the Carolina game, he did less than 30%. So what these numbers would have meant is if he started out slow and his snap counts picked up over the year, that would have told me that the coaches saw something in him. Hey, when we put this guy out there, he's really getting after the passer. No, what these numbers to me tell me is that he was always seen as a situational pass rusher, and there's no reason to change that thinking. Based on what I'm seeing. Now, the other thing to bring up that I thought was really interesting is I wanted to look at Reggie Gilbert. Now, I actually have not really heard Gilbert's name too much in training camp, but that's a guy that I've really, really, really got my eye on. He looked really, really good. So he came in, he's got, through two games, he had four pressures, which is pretty good. His pressure rate was 4.65%, which is in 86 snaps, which is, super small sample rate, so there's not a whole lot to be done by it. But he seemed to me like he was a guy who just, he knew what he was doing. There was a abruptness, there was a suddenness to Gilbert. There was just a motor on Gilbert that I didn't really see to that effect in Fackrell. He's a better athlete than Fackrell, I think, is really what it comes down to. He played in two games. He played in week 16 and 17. He had 46 snaps in week 16 and 40 snaps in week 17. And Fackrell in those games, 39 and 23. So he, even though Fackrell, his numbers actually looked decent last year as far as a pass rusher, when Gilbert was out there, Luis Gilbert out there, Fackrell got less. And that was, the season was lost. They lost both those games. It was the 16-0 loss to Minnesota in Green Bay. And then the 35-11 loss at Detroit, which still doesn't seem real because it's Detroit. I mean, come on. If Gilbert was looking, I think, or if Fackrell was looking good up until that point, you see, like, all right, well, this is the guy. We're going to see what he's got. We're just going to tell him to get after the passer, or we're going to give him a lot more playing time. We give him, 80% of the snaps or something through those two games. That's not what happened at all. Basically, Fackrell stayed about the same, 30s, 20s and 30s. And Gilbert came in and got more snaps than him in both those games. Now, again, you can say, well, they're rolling dice with a younger guy. Like, yeah, that's true. But you still don't necessarily know what you have in Fackrell. Or maybe you do, and that's why you're keeping him there. So I just want to say, big up to Kyler Fackrell for showing out and beating Bakhtiari in a one-on-one and getting two wins under your belt in those one-on-ones in your third camp. That's good. And again, like I said earlier, man, I want Fackrell to succeed, because if Fackrell succeeding, that's good for the defense. This is what the defense has missed. The defense has been missing a consistent pass rush out of anyone not named Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, who are both injured all the time. So if Fackrell can turn around And if this year can be his year and he has a breakout, maybe Gilbert has a breakout as well, like, that's, I'm happy with that. I'll stop the jokes immediately. I haven't seen that out of him. And just based on the numbers and based on the snaps and based on everything from last year, I don't know that this one-on-one means very much. I know, guys, I don't think that this one rep in a one-on-one is going to pretend big things for the rest of the career of this guy who's not shown much so far. So I apologize for not blowing this out of proportion, but that's kind of where I am with Fackrell. And with that, guys, I don't know how I did it. Well, I do know how I did it. I talk a lot. I believe our 20 minutes are up. So thank you so much. You won't have to put up with me like this again for a while. I'll be back next week with Andy. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. I also do some football breakdown gifs over at All 22 Talk. So I've got both of those. I got some writing coming up for the season that I'm excited about. I've got actually a couple pieces that I'm hoping to put up before the season about plays that the Packers could steal from the Rams this year that I'm pretty hyped about. And I'm also doing a podcast with Pack to the Future. That's at PTTF_podcast, where we actually previewed the entire AFC last week, and we're going to be doing the NFC here in the next week or two. So pretty hyped about that. For this podcast, guys, thank you so much for listening. This has just been a tremendous experience so far. We can be found on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and you also on Cheesehead TV. Make sure to subscribe, like, and comment to wherever you listen to the podcast. It helps get more views and helps get more listens for us, which is just huge, huge, huge. Follow us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. Make sure you listen tomorrow. We've got great people every single day. Tomorrow, Jacob and Ross are going to be going on, and they're just tremendous. Their knowledge of the Packers and their knowledge of just football in general is great. So that's going to be a tremendous podcast. Make sure you listen to that. Guys, thank you so much for sticking with me. I will talk to you next week.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Got Adams! 30! Turns upfield, 25! Cutting right to the 20! 15! 10! 5! Devontae Adams! To the south end zone for the touchdown! Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up. Rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A miracle pass. Yes!
Yes!
In the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yard. Field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick. To the uprights. And it is right down the middle. It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of Green Bay Packers.